time now for Berkeley Electric Cooperative Power Talk, a weekly program to educate and inform the member owners about the co-op. You'll hear tips on saving energy and what Berkeley Electric Co-op means to you. Now let's join our host, Terry Bass, for this week's program.
And good morning to you. And of course, Libby Rorig is right alongside co-host. I'm sorry in advance, Libby. I was supposed to fix that, but... One of these days. But yes, we're ready on a Saturday morning for another exciting BEC Power Talk. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always great to be in the studio.
Absolutely. Today. We have fun. You guys just think it's an informational show. We have more fun than anything. So it's really just the Libby and Terry fun show with a little bit of information.
It's a good excuse to get together.
There you go. Absolutely. And I take everything I said back now. Inside joke. I love Libby Rorig. She's good people. And we have a special guest with us this morning, Jason Trussell, who's been with us before.
Yes, sir.
He started the summer, and now he's going to end the summer with us.
Yeah, he's excited about the start of football season.
That's right, for sure.
Go Gamecocks. He's not alone.
Yep.
Go Gamecocks.
Roll Tide.
And no Tide.
Yeah. No Tide. They win too much. Hey, come on. We need to win a little bit, you know?
The tide's going out and staying out this next couple of years. I'm telling you, watch what happens. But nonetheless, we're ready to talk about GIS and drones, man. How about that stuff, huh?
Yeah, Jason's our GIS supervisor at the cooperative. So
that's right.
We have some new technology we want to talk to our members about today. And,
okay.
The role that GIS plays to better serve them.
Yep, and if you listened to our last show when we had Jason in, we got into the world of GIS and how important and valuable it is mapping.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing where all your assets are. You know, think about all the storms that have happened. Mm-hmm. Look what has happened. And I'm sure that you guys sent help out to Louisiana, probably. If you didn't, you should have. No. But I know the linemen work.
Oh, yeah.
And go out and deploy.
Yeah, cooperation among cooperatives is one of our most cherished operating principles that we have. And we have not just yet sent some crews out, but
probably
when
will.
The call comes, we'll definitely have some
absolutely.
Guys
as we sometimes need.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm knocking on all the wood I can find that all these storms stay away from us this year.
Yeah, they return the favor when we need their help.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But GIS plays a role in helping recovery, I'm sure. But Jason, tell us again, for those who missed you at the beginning of summer, what is GIS exactly?
Yeah, well, GIS is basically geographic information systems. A lot of people really don't understand what GIS is. They just hear the abbreviation. And basically, it's computer-based modeling where we use spatial data to map and analyze things out in the field and data that we collect, things like that.
Okay.
Our linemen use it every day on some of the apps that we use to basically be able to find equipment quicker and be able to trace to find equipment when there's outages and things like that. So it helps our fellows basically get to you quicker and get your power on quicker. So, and our job is to keep, the GIS system up to date and reliable for them.
Okay.
To help reliability out for everybody else. So that's our end goal is, on the mapping side is, reliability
right.
on the maps.
And to the listening audience, you said spatial data or spatial information, not facial.
Yeah.
Cause I know people think,
spatial.
But we're in a day and time where, facial recognition and things like that. No, he didn't say facial, but spatial, not the same, but there's some correlation because, why is there spatial data to recognize that you are who you are?
Yeah, we're recognizing where equipment's spatially on a map. So
exactly.
Basically everything that we have on our system has coordinates tied to it.
Poles, meters.
And we can basically, we've had our whole system GPS where everything has coordinates. And, sometimes, things could get lost or overgrown or underground pedestals. Mm-hmm. We have the coordinates for that to be able to go back and find it if we need to.
Yeah.
Or even, give people directions to find that stuff even quicker if they don't know where it's
at. And we're kind of answering through you telling us about that, our next question, the why and how of BEC using GIS. But give us a little bit of the maybe historically how long and that sort of thing, and then, you know, what it really does mean.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, God, we've been using GIS well over 20 years. When I came on board, that was kind of when the project started to get all of our equipment GPS. So that was in like 08, 2008. And just helps us have a better or an accurate system of record of where things are at. And also, you know, it just helps us kind of understand things and make more informed decisions when we're out there, you know, where we know where everything's at. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, it helps our members, you know, they can also go on to maps that we post on BEC's website, and they can go look up, you know, service territories, you know, where we serve. They can look up their address and you know, find out, you know, if we're doing tree trimming around their area. There's all kinds of different applications that we put out there mm-hmm. for our members so they can actually physically go on and search and find things. And for instance, another one's like your board district. So you mm-hmm. can go on there and you can actually find out which board district you're in. Okay. So before you come up and annual meeting comes up, you can find out which area you're supposed to be voting in if you're like a new member or something like that. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. And see, GIS, that's a practical purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the, you know, I won't call you guys nerds. Of course, I would never do
that.
Yeah,
we're like computer nerds. Yeah,
but for the lay people, then. But like I said, to know where what board or what mm-hmm. part of the membership board, if you will, voting, and you could go and find out, okay, I'm in this board or you know, that board. I don't know how it's defined.
Or if you just need to contact your board member, your representative, and you have an idea you'd like to share with them and get in contact with them. You know, really across the cooperative, GIS touches mm-hmm. everything that we do. You know, even in communications, we rely on them to help us get the accurate information out that our members need, member services, of course, our linemen, our engineering and operations department uses it.
Right,
a lot.
And I even see here on my wonderful notes, helpful for people buying a home or a business, or how does that kind of weave in?
So I can explain that because we've just recently kind of put that out there on the website where you can go in and look at our service territory, and with those service territory maps in Berkeley, Charleston, and Dorchester County, those will actually show you, you know, which areas we serve. So if you were to buy a home and you preferred Berkeley Electric over somebody else, you could see the areas that we serve or that neighborhood. Ah. Or if you just bought a home and you're curious of who the electric provider is, you can go click on our map and say, okay, you can put in your address, which those are geocoded in with the county geocoders, and they're picking up new addresses as soon as those addresses are put in the county. So all that's kind of talking together, and it allows our members to, you know, go in and see, like, the newest lots that the county put out there and see who's going to be providing service to that.
Okay.
So that's a great tool for everybody to be able to use.
Okay. Not necessarily a GIS question, but just my mind is racing on this. if a neighborhood comes online, mm-hmm. who determines who services that area from a power perspective? Is that a higher authority?
Well, most of the time those decisions have already been made. With Charleston and Berkeley County, all that has been settled with the Public Service Commission.
Okay.
And it's by a parcel basis. So most areas, no matter if there's a neighborhood on it now or not, you know, we have determined, you know, this is our territory. This is
versus
others' territory. Okay. So,
but probably GIS is even used in that determining who's
for sure
most efficient to be able to
correct.
Provide and so on and so
and
forth.
And just to give you kind of a little overall of how, you know, we've went about it with other utilities is, you know, it's all about the members, and they're about their members as well. And it's all about who's better to serve. You know, if I got a three-phase line, you know, right out in front of your house, cutting across your parcel, and you know the other provider might be just doesn't have anything. You know, obviously we're better to serve, so we're working together with them, analyzing this data through GIS to make better informed decisions, and basically in the end game serve mm-hmm. these members better to have, you know, more reliable power. You mm-hmm. know, it's not a, you know, obviously, yeah, everybody wants to have more members, but we're all looking at it from a bigger picture as who can be more reliable to serve.
Right. Mm-hmm. What makes more sense.
More sense, correct. Okay. Which is great. I mean, it's brought together, you know, Berkeley Electric with a lot of other providers in the area, and we sit down and we actually talk with them when we go to make these decisions. And I think it's great because, you know, sometimes you make these decisions and we've already had to do it, and we've had to go back and say, well, I think you're better to serve this now, even though when we were making those decisions, you know, at the time, it looked better on paper that, you know, hey, you should serve this. But, you know, better communication between everybody. And it's not a whole lot of fighting going on like it used to back in the day.
Okay.
Sure.
Fighting. Power Rangers, anyway. let's talk about new technology, because you guys, as you said, been around with BEC 20 years GISing, if that's the right way to say it. But technology has changed. Things are more different, digital age, so on and so forth. So what's going on with the GIS division, technology speaking?
Well, technology's come a long way, and BEC's jumping in the game here. We're starting to get some actually, we just purchased a drone, and we have 4 certified drone pilots now.
Hmm.
We're using these drones for multiple different things. Like I said, we're kind of still in the training, kind of learning phase of things, but it's going to play a huge part at Berkeley Electric. Not just for, you know, GIS, but just for everyone. I mean, every department. I can think of probably 10 or 15 different things that we can use drones for right now. But right now we're starting out, you know, kind of small with the inspection side of things. And it just makes so much sense. I mean, instead of sending a whole group of linemen out just to inspect something, we can go out and inspect, you know, 50 poles in an hour with a drone and take pictures and have that information for whomever needs it. So, like I said, the drone technology that's out there is awesome, and GIS is going to play a big part in that.
And really, in every facet of life, the ability to do things with drones, a lot of times it's safer.
Mm-hmm.
It's more efficient from a time standpoint, and it's just it's growing more and more by day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, once again, that's great technology that's coming online. Like you said, you guys are staffing up, training,
mm-hmm.
Purchasing. You know, I know retail's still trying to figure out how to deliver a pizza with one.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. As we went through the training, so we all had to get certified through the FAA to get to be able to commercially fly these drones. And you know, just listening to these fellows talk about, you know, what you've heard, like Amazon and some other ones delivering packages and all, and some of it's just not feasible with drones. But you know, there's other things like what we're looking to do with it. It is feasible, and it's going to save us a lot of money and a lot of time. And like mm-hmm. you said earlier, you know, safety too. I mean,
yeah,
especially during you know, big disasters, hurricanes, things like that. It's going to save us time having people on the ground, potentially in hazardous areas, you know, where we can just get up and take pictures of things mm-hmm. and right. relay that info back. And that info, you know, can help the managers and everybody else, you know, looking at it, say, okay, well, we need to, you know, prioritize for mm-hmm. this area that we couldn't get to yet.
Right.
But the drones already sent back these images and showed them exactly what we need to do.
That's right.
And how big a problem we have. So, it, like I said, I think right there, it's going to be paid for. Yeah. One storm, and everybody knows how many storms we have around here. It's not always hurricanes. So
mm-hmm.
We always get these little surprise pop-up thunderstorms mm-hmm. and knock quite a bit of power out and things like that.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah. like I said, I think eventually we're going to have a lot more departments using these, and hopefully, you know, each office we have some sort of drone presence.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Once again, we're with Jason Tressel, the GIS supervisor for Berkeley Electric Cooperative. Libby Rohrig is always co-hosting You know, one day I'm going to sit over there and let you, you know, I'm sort of in the lead chair. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We'll try that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. 2024, I know.
Do I get any training ahead of time?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Of course. After you do your drone training first.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but Jason, you mentioned that you guys had to get commercially certified through the FAA. But once that's done, that's not all you have to do. You've got some continuing ed to do along the line.
Yeah, that's correct. Every couple years, we have to go back and kind of take some refresher courses and things like that. So there's always some sort of continuing education. And there's also, you know, like a lot of people know that, you know, have a drone for, you know, hobby use and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of gray areas right now with drones and how things operate. And there's still a ton of things they say coming in 2023 where there's going to be a lot of changes with, you know, registering things and tracking drones basically in the air. You know, obviously, you know, it could be a safety issue, you know, for some people, you know, hey, a drone's flying over to my house, whose drone is it? You know, so that's why they want to be able to track that stuff. But, you know, like I said, I think the rules and regulations are constantly changing because it's such a new technology. That I think it's good to go back and get a refresher, you know, because you just never know. Things can change while we're out there doing things, and you may or may not be allowed to still do that or whatever. So, but
it's for the not only the safety of the member and the community, but for other aircraft.
That's correct. Yeah, for sure. I mean, within the training that we took, I mean, you got to be aware, and you know, even the drone that we have kind of alerts us when there's other aircrafts in the area or other drones in the area and things like that. So you got to be careful. You got to, you know, be mindful, know where you're flying. I mean, obviously you can't fly around airports, things like that, you know, where other aircraft are coming in and you got a certain altitude that you can fly at.
Right.
And things like that. And, you know, not allowed to fly over crowds and things like that. I mean, you always can get sort of waivers to do certain things. But like I said, that's kind of why all this training's there, is, you know, for the safety of us and the safety of members and other aircrafts in the air. So I think it's a great thing.
Okay, and the drone technology is definitely going to take what you guys do to another level, as everyone else.
That's right.
You know, so it's very very good information to know about because you know there are things that you're unaware of that are going on right above your nose.
That's right.
Maybe not under with the drone, but
well, and for the co-op, it's more efficiently and effectively serving our membership. You know, anywhere that we can take advantage of new technology to save time and money, it's a win for us, and especially when we're able to enhance how we're serving them.
Right, and ultimately, even though it may be you're thinking about, okay, you're adding equipment, drones, training, all this stuff, the end game is actually to save you money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, member owners out there, and then that's money back in your pocket.
So, yep.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a great technology to be able to have a bird's eye view and not get in a helicopter, not have physical people in some sort of, you know, like this is just an instance, but, you know, say we wanted to fly over top and look at the right of way, you know, over the lines to get a bird's eye view and see what kind of, you know, trees are overhanging the lines that we might need to trim because potentially these could fall on the lines and cause an outage. So, I mean, that right there is just going to save lots of time and money being able to go out, take a video, and send it to the right-of-way manager and say, hey, you know, we got an issue here. I mean, it's time to trim here. Or hey, we might need to look at this tree or something like that.
Right.
I mean, we were just out flying yesterday and in the National Forest, and we came across a few areas that definitely look like they might need to be trimmed. And that's something that, you know, when you see that, you can take a video and get it back to the people that need to see those type of things to proactively get out there and get it trimmed or things like that. So, but it's just great to have a bird's eye view. And something I might not have mentioned with that drone that we did purchase is it has a great zoom in feature. Not only infrared, so we can infrared to see if lightning arresters or transformers are hot up there on the pole, but we can also be so far away that we're not, you know, we're out of the way of, you know, people and houses, but we can zoom down in and check these things out and be able to analyze that. And like I said, like it really helps us out to be able to make these decisions to have a camera like that on there.
Absolutely. And I see in my notes this, I'm assuming this happened or it potentially could happen, an Osprey nest on a communication tower could happen. It probably happens a lot.
Yeah.
Especially out in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here at the radio station, there's a hawk that sits up on top of our radio tower. I see him every morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, he doesn't talk back. But that's an example.
Yeah. It's life in the low country. Wildlife is one of our most wonderful qualities about living here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just this summer, we've had two osprey nests that we've been having to surveil. One on a three-phase line on Highway 52 and another on a communication tower. And ospreys don't like you getting close to their nest, if you don't know.
No birds, really. Yeah. But those are bigger birds than mockingbirds. So.
Yeah, and if you come at them with another flying object, they might think it's another bird and try to protect their nest. So the further you can stay away from them, the happier everybody is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and like I said, that's you have that drone where you can zoom in there and, hey, see if there's birds in the nest or see if it's an abandoned nest and it's something that's blocking a signal for our communication towers. So, I mean, we have a ton of communications towers out there, for radios and other things. And like I said, it's just that's another reason to use the drone to go up and inspect these things, save time and money. I mean, it takes 20 minutes to inspect a tower versus paying somebody to climb it, things like that. So, or, look and see what birds are in the nest or, see what's going on. So that's, like I said, it's going to pay dividends here in the future.
Absolutely. And if you think in terms of these huge, these storms, big hurricane that recently came through and it not only affected the Gulf Coast, but all the way up into New York in the Northeast. But you're thinking about how a drone could literally save lives. Okay, it's flooded in Louisiana. There may be people trapped in houses.
Mm-hmm.
We're cut off. So if there were no drone surveillance possible, you would kind of have to guesstimate how you attack the situation. Mm-hmm. But let's say you fly a drone in. You see, we've got people in this neighborhood based on GIS mapping, knowing where things are. And here's where the road is and so on and so forth. But now you can deploy a rescue boat as opposed to trying to wait until we can drive a fire truck into a situation.
Correct.
And that could literally save lives.
Yeah, you send the drone in to help, survey the scene. And then, for instance, like with that storm that they recently had in Louisiana, is like you could be looking at an area – that has, are used to have a lot of poles. And because of GPS and GIS, you could physically locate where those used to be.
Right.
And that will help you, directionally figure out where you're going to get to these people and help them out. So, like I said, that's why it's so important to have, GPS and GIS within your organization with any sort of equipment, things like that. And then also you throw the drone in there and they do all kinds of different things, kind of like what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just waking up, good morning again. We are with Jason Trussell, the GIS supervisor for Berkeley Electric Cooperative. And, of course, Libby Rowrig is right here. She gives me all the great questions, so makes me sound good. But thank you, because Libby comes up with the great questions. Occasionally I look up, but you're the one.
It's a team effort.
Okay.
No I in team, Terry.
Except for Alabama. It's all about saving. Anyway, it is football season. Had to put that out there. But
Roll Tide.
Less manpower and more efficiency. That's a way to save money. Not saying we're taking jobs or anything, because like you said, we're literally training staff. No one's losing a job, leaving, or if you will. But just the efficiency. The technology, it ultimately, cha-ching, it saves money.
Oh, yeah.
All the way
while
around.
While getting better.
That's right.
So,
I would say it creates jobs. Obviously, eventually down the road, we're going to need more people that can fly these drones and more people to help, and that's another thing we haven't even talked about. But, GIS, somebody's got to analyze that data. I mean, you know, drones just don't go out for, you know, storms and just to look at things and say if they're damaged or not for damage assessment. I mean, aerial photography, other things. You want to take a picture of our one of our new offices we're building or a new substation and have, you know, I guess you'd say high resolution aerial data so you can go back and, and other people can make decisions or look at that type of stuff that you don't have. You know, obviously people can look at maps and they look at Google or Bing or whoever and they can see this aerial photography, but a lot of times that stuff's a couple years old.
Right.
You know, so it gives us the ability to take these current aerials and apply them to our maps or whatever for our linemen and things like that. So there's also a lot on the data end that goes into a drone. So analytics and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, the opportunities are endless. And like I said, it's just going to do nothing but, you know, give us a lot more work to do in turn, which means, you know, potentially hiring more people, things like that to help out.
You weren't frowning it down on work, were you?
No, not at all.
Of course not. More work to do.
Yeah, more work to do.
But it's good work.
Good work. It's awesome.
It's in your area of specialty, and it's going to make things better. And that's really what it's all about at Berkeley Electric Cooperative and anywhere else, to be honest with you, as far as drone technology. So GIS, here to stay and only expand.
That's right.
Only get bigger and better. A lot of things going on, certifications, drones in the picture. Man, we've probably talked about everything. One last thing. We got a couple minutes left. And you've sort of talked about vegetation or rights of way and management. How you think going forward droning will come into play with how you do that part of the Berkeley job as far as linemen. We've kind of answered it, but linemen don't have to go up and survey. And people thinking of survey, you've many times seen, like, somebody on the side of a road with a tripod and, you know.
That's right.
Not knowing what they do, but knowing, well, they're doing something.
Yeah.
But I guess a lot of those scenarios will kind of go away because you can do that with drones.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like
GPS.
we talked earlier, you know, that, you know, with the right of way stuff. I mean, you're going to be able to, you know, go out and, you know, for instance, when we were out the other day, I mean, we were seeing, you know, vines all over some lines in the woods, things like that, and we can, you know, report these vines that could be causing outages, could be, you know, you touching on the lines and shorten things out, things like that. So, along with, like I said, versus, you know, the co-op paying for a helicopter to fly above the canopy and see things. I mean, it's unreal to look and see this drone footage from above. I mean, you can see the clear cut right away, and then you can see the obvious overlying trees. And for to be able to pick that kind of stuff out, it's hard to see that from the ground. And like I said, you know, versus the other, like hiring a helicopter. I mean, so that's what's great about having these drones is you can have one person out doing it, and it's fairly inexpensive. So, which is great, saving everybody money. So,
well, real quick. And you can say yes or no. Obstacles in terms of deploying this technology? Has there been anything holding you up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we got new technology. Everybody wants to get out and do it. But, you know, everybody had a job to do before drones. So, you know, it's really, you know, finding the time to get out there and do it. But like I said, with this technology, this is something that can't wait. I would say, if anything, we're a little bit behind some other co-ops. Some have had programs for years, and like I said, it's time to get out there, get flying, and really figure out what this is going to do for BEC. And I think it's going to do great things, but it's going to take, you know, man hours to get out there. You're not just, I mean, like I said, there's so much to do with it. I mean, you just think about, you know, learning to fly around a pole and keep a camera steady as you go in a circle with a drone. That's difficult to do. I mean, that kind of stuff. So you can get accurate footage and video for people so they can make the decisions in the office if that pole or that transformer or something needs to be replaced or things like that. So.
I got you. So, in other words, the best is yet to come.
That's right.
All right. And with Jason at the helm and Libby nearby, train her up. I want to see her fly a drone.
That's right.
Can you do it, you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, you know, the cool thing about it is if you have a certified pilot, you know, as long as I'm there beside her, she can fly.
All right. I'll let that be the last word today. This wraps up this edition of BEC Power Talk. Everyone have a good day.